tonight. This evening, very simple lesson. It's about cleansing our soul. And how do we accomplish that? Well, we're going to look at it, and we can do a lot, but we cannot cleanse our own soul. That's something that is impossible for us to do. And so that is why Christ is so important to us, because His blood is the only way to have our soul cleansed. All right, so there are many passages in the Bible which speak of a cleansing. And in fact, the word is found 32 times in the Bible. And sometimes this is referring to things like washing dishes or washing your clothes, washing the altar, and other things. Sometimes it means to just take a bath and wash the dirt off the outside. And so that cleansing is washing your body. But mostly in the Bible, it has reference to cleaning the inside. You know, Jesus talked about that. You get the outside, you know, the sepulchers, they're all painted all nice and neat, but they're still full of dead men's bones inside, Matthew 23. And so it has reference to cleaning the inside. And that's really what's important, because Jesus said what is inside is really more important, because what comes out of the mouth comes from inside, in your mind. So, what needs to be cleansed? Well, our filthiness, our dirty little secrets, our potty mouth, and just about everything that defiles the person. You know what Jesus talked about. And sin is what we're talking about. Sin is what defiles, and we have to find a way to get rid of sin. When, sadly, we can't do that by ourselves. And so, sin is so disgusting to God that He will not fellowship anyone who has sin in their life. In fact, those who have sin are separated from God. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And it does not matter how dirty your life has been, with the help of Jesus, we can be cleansed. And God will fellowship us when we are clean. Some of us have found that out. Before we became Christians, we weren't very nice people. But then we made a change. And so God looks at us as clean individuals. And when you look back at your life and you wonder, how can I be considered clean? Well, that's exactly how it can be done, because we can have our soul cleansed. You know, 1 John 1:7 reads, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." That doesn't show up too good. But anyway, but God will not fellowship anyone who has not been cleansed. And that's something we have to realize, because even after we've been cleansed once, we can still get dirty again, right? I mean, and Peter talks about that. And so in 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So God is willing to forgive if we are willing to confess. If we're willing to change our life and repent and return to God, then He's willing to bless us. And we read that a lot in the scriptures. And He's always ready to do that. That's why He sent the prophets to speak to the people. "Return and I will bless you." That was very common for them to say. You know, if you'll just turn to the Lord, you'll get your blessings back. Because He had removed the blessings from them because of their sin. And so that was the message of the prophets. And David prayed to God in Psalm 51:2, says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." See, this is something God does. God is the only one who can do that. When you think about it, it's not something we can do ourselves. We cannot do anything. We cannot do any act of piety. We cannot do any meritorious work in order to be saved, to be cleansed of our sins. God has to cleanse us of our sins. And nobody can wash away their own sins. I mean, that's just obvious. And so in Acts 22:16, Ananias told Paul to not delay any longer, but to arise, be baptized, and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. And so baptism is the action that God has commanded whereby our sins can be washed away or our sins can be cleansed. See, while many might object to the idea that one can wash away their sin, we have to realize that God only goes so far in this process. Yes, we are involved in this. Yeah, I said we can't do it by ourselves, but we need God. And God's not going to do it independent of us either. That's something else. I mean, there's false doctrine out there that says God's going to cleanse everybody whenever he wants to. And that's false doctrine too. It's got to be a combination of my faith and belief, acting what God has told me to do, and his grace and mercy providing the cleansing of our souls. So it's actually God's willingness to forgive, but based upon our faith and obedience, that he will cleanse us from our sins. I mean, if we don't exercise and demonstrate that faith by obedience, he's not going to cleanse us of that sin. And God made it possible through his son that people could have their sins forgiven, remitted, or cleansed, taken away. The remission of sins. And that it can be removed from us. In fact, as Jeremiah 34 talks about the fact that our sins will be washed away and God will remember them no more. I mean, the Hebrew writer quoted from Jeremiah 34. And so that's what it is. In this new age, in the Christian age, when our sins are washed away, they're gone. God's forgotten all that we did before that. We start fresh. Now, our problem is that even though we start fresh, yeah, we still sin. We still make mistakes. And we need to constantly be asking God for forgiveness so that we can be cleansed once again. And how often can this take place? All the time. I mean, every day, every time we pray to God and say, forgive me of my sins, we start over. The slate is wiped clean. God doesn't remember that. You know, he says we're going to be judged based on the things that we've done in the body. But for Christians, it's only those things since your last cleansing is what we're going to be judged on. And so that's what we have to be mindful of. In the end, we have to make the choice ourselves if we are going to be cleansed. That is up to us. God provides it. He makes it available. He tells us what we need to do. And then it's in our ballpark then. We have to decide, am I going to do this? All right. In various translations, the word cleanse is used, and sometimes the term wash is used. And so, and it really conveys the same idea. In Leviticus chapter 17, when it talks about the leprosy, he says, go and wash yourselves and then show yourselves to the priest. And after 7 days, if he thinks it's leprosy, you go out of the camp for 7 days, stay away from everybody, then you wash yourself and come back and show yourself to the priest again. And then if it's still there, he'll say, you have leprosy. So you have to separate yourself. The idea of cleansing leprosy carries the same idea. Having our sins washed away is the same as having our sins cleansed. And so that's what it is. The New Testament speaks of being washed in water. And Titus 3:5, the regeneration of washing, appealing to God from a good conscience through baptism, being cleansed from past sins. I mean, we read that, Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And yes, this is a reference to baptism and its importance in the salvation we seek to have. It would do us all good to look up these words and see how the Bible offers them to us and see the meaning of these words. After all, God speaks to us through his word, and his word offers the words of eternal life. And we ought to know what those words mean. Sometimes we just go through, we read a passage, and we don't stop to think, what does that word mean? How is it used? And why do the translators put that word in instead of another word? Because as we know, with our English language, there's a lot of different meanings on particular words. One word may have 12 or 13 or 17 meanings. Some words maybe only have two or three. But as we go through, as the language evolves, these words pick up things. I mean, just like the word awful. I mean, back in the 1700s, awful was something you attribute to God as the beauty he has given us in his creation. It's full of awe. And that's what awful means. Nowadays, when someone says that's awful, that's horrible. That's bad. I mean, and so the language changes. And so we have to make sure we understand how the words are used, how they're meant, how the people of that day understood what was being taught to them. And so it's important. That's why we need to study to show ourselves approved. If we just go through and read the Bible over and over and over without investigating what does it mean, what good is it going to do us? It might do us some good, that's true, but it won't do us as much good as if we really understood what we read. You know, when Philip the evangelist ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading from Isaiah, he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" I mean, the greatest answer ever. How can I accept someone guide me? I mean, words full of wisdom and just so awesome to hear someone say that I need some guidance because some of this I don't understand. I mean, that's what we're finding out in our study of the minor prophets on Wednesday night. I mean, it's until you comprehend and understand what they're talking about, the words just really have no meaning. So that's why it's very important. And so we need to study God's word and make sure we are understanding it properly. Some people just read it and they really don't understand it. And when that's the case, you're open to any interpretation. Even a false teacher can come up and give you a wrong interpretation. And how are you going to know if it's right or wrong? That's why we need study. As we study these words, we learn that this is the work that God gives us to do. I mean, one of the works is to know what God wants and then do that. Apply it to our lives. So it is a good work and really not anything we do on our own. And we're talking about having our soul cleansed and washing ourselves, getting ourselves right with God. I mean, we can't do it by ourselves. We have to do it with God's help. And we just do what God tells us to do, and we can be saved by our obedience to God's grace. It really is that simple. Some people want to make it a big, long, technical details here, but it really is that simple. Do what God tells you to do, and you can go to heaven. We know that we cannot have fellowship with God if we have sins. And like I said, Isaiah 59:2, our sins separate us from God. Other lessons we talk about, you know, 1 John 1 and verse 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we read from John 3:17 and or verse 19, men love the darkness rather than the light, because they did their evil deeds in the darkness. God does not tolerate anybody who stays in the darkness. He won't have anything to do with them. I mean, sin is disgusting. We learn that even from the plagues of Egypt, as the plagues represent sin. They are disgusting. And we would consider such things disgusting. And our problem is we do not view sin the same way God does. God abhors sin. God considers every sin an abomination. And we just kind of categorize sin and say, well, the really bad sins, we're going to set those aside. We won't do those. But the little minor sins, no big deal. And that seems how a lot of Christians act. Little sins, no big deal. But any sin that is not repented of will keep one out of heaven. If we can be cleansed from our sins, we can have a relationship with God. Who can come into the fellowship of God but he who is cleansed, who is righteous before him? I mean, we read that in some of the Psalms, talks about that. In Psalm 32, I mean verses 1 and 2, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I mean, he talks about the blessings there. But flip that around. If you've got sin, there are no blessings. You cannot have blessings that way. So after listing several sins and bad behaviors in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and I mean, it starts off, you know, that these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We read about the Corinthians, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. I mean, look at all these words that are associated with as equals. I mean, you were washed, you were cleansed. And what that did was that made you justified, that made you sanctified. And all of this because of what Jesus did for us. And it's in the Spirit of our God. The Bible tells us that baptism is how sins are washed away, Acts 22:16. And people, I know people out there teaching you can be saved and then baptized later, but that doesn't agree with the Bible. I mean, the Bible says sin is washed away, and if you have sin, you cannot be in fellowship with God until your sins are washed away. Now, baptism alone does not save, and we know that. But baptism, working through faith, is just one step in the salvation process. Yes, we believe, we must confess, we must repent, and then we're baptized, and then we've got to be faithful. We have the commands to grow in grace and knowledge. We have the commands to assemble with the saints. We have all sorts of commands that we need to do the rest of our lives. And in order to be considered faithful in the sight of God. So baptism, working through faith, is but one of the most important things we can do for our own salvation. Getting into a relationship with God. Yeah, starting off, it's very simple. You hear, believe, repent, confess, you're baptized, you're put into a relationship with God. Then we got to get busy. I mean, that's just the beginning. That begins our spiritual journey. We have to learn what God wants us to do, and more, learn what commands he's asked us to do, and then do those commands. So we learn that if we have the stain of sin upon us, we cannot be in fellowship with God. That's why our sins need to be washed away. And if we sit there and try and categorize sin and no big deal, and we continue doing those sins, which we consider no big deal, we have forgotten that God considers it a big deal. Any sin can keep us out of heaven. One sin can keep us out of heaven. That's why we have to work constantly to make sure we're living righteous in the sight of God. That's why we've got to be diligent to serve and seek God the best of our ability all the time. Not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night, but all the time. We've got to be serving God to the best of our ability. Otherwise, we cannot be in fellowship with Him. The only people who are in fellowship with God are the righteous. And the only way one can be righteous is to have their sins taken away. Initially through baptism, then as we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. So God knew this, and that is why he made provisions for our salvation. We couldn't have salvation by ourselves. We couldn't do it for ourselves. And so he had the plan established before the foundation of the earth that through Jesus Christ and his blood, that this would be made possible. The hope of salvation is for everybody. It's made for everybody. Now, obviously, not everybody cares about that. Obviously, so many people, they reject what God had to say. And so they're going to have to stand before him and give an account. Well, did they do what they were supposed to do? Nope. Well, guess what? Depart from me is going to be those words they're going to hear. And so through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have the redemption from our sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 tells us that. And so when we couple our faith with obedience and continue until the end, God has a place prepared for his righteous ones. So cleansing our soul is so important. And even though we do have a part in that, by obedience to God, only God can cleanse our souls. Only the provisions that God has established. And now it's through our obedience that we can have our sins taken away. And it's what God did for us. That speaks magnificently of his grace that he has. So are you going to be one of the righteous ones? I mean, that's something we've got to consider. And don't say, well, before I die, I'm going to be a righteous one. We don't know when the end is coming. So we've got to be righteous now. And that means self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. I mean, we're going to have to do some examination. Am I living up to the expectation God has of me? God has expectations of everybody. There's nobody exempt from that. Everybody, God has expectations of them. And so the question is, will you be one of the righteous? I mean, that's an important question, and it takes resolve in order to be one of the righteous, to be one of the faithful ones. I mean, it takes resolve, it takes dedication, it takes purpose of mind to do all these things. And so, consider these thoughts. I mean, will you be one of the righteous when Judgment Day comes? And since we don't know when that time comes, like Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, seeing that these things will be so, what sort of person ought you to be in most holy conduct? He just described the end of the world, the elements burning with intense heat, and the world being burned up and everything in it destroyed. We don't know when that's going to happen. So the question is, are you ready now in case it happens tonight, in case it happens right now? So think about those things. And that's our lesson for this evening. We always offer the invitation to those who feel that they have failed God. We'll pray for you and help you along in that matter if we can. If someone needs to obey the gospel, we've got water ready. We can baptize one into Christ to have their sins washed away. So if you have a particular need that you need some help with, we'll be glad to assist you. We're going to offer that invitation now as we stand and sing.